Welcome to Dome Patrol Premier League. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network's Premier League podcast. I'm your host, James, and with me this week is my fellow UK Saints fan and fellow member of the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network. Let's try that again. Ben, how are you doing?
Yeah, not too bad. Once again, just got off from watching a disappointing Arsenal defeat, but not taking it too personally. You know, the FA's out to get us. And moving on.
So that's a quick summation of the Arsenal-Aston Villa game that's just finished. For those of you who don't know, Arsenal have just lost to Aston Villa. As a neutral, it was a terrible game of football. A goal scored in the second minute, and there was, you know, me and Ben were having a text message conversation about a refereeing decision in the first half. We'll come to referees later on in the show, and we can discuss this incident as part of that conversation. But since we last recorded, the main news, Ben, is that we've lost a fairly high profile manager in the Premier League, and Chelsea sacked Frank Lampard, club legend Frank Lampard. What are your thoughts on that?
It wasn't a surprise. You could see it brewing. I think this job was always a little bit too early for Lampard. I think he did a really good job in his first year, but you remember they didn't have a transfer ban. And I think playing a lot of the players from the youth academy and bringing Jody Morris as his assistant, who trained a lot of those players in the academy, really helped. And a lot of those players were ready to make the next step. Like, you've seen the likes of Reece James and Mason Mount. They break through into the England team because they were ready to make that step up. But then the money came available in the summer. I don't know how much say Lampard got on transfers.
Probably
not much at all. And a lot of players just got thrown in together that I don't think went to his system. They brought in Kai Havertz for a lot of money. They brought in Ziyech for a good fair transfer price, but you also got players like Mason Mount there, who and Timo Werner as well, coming in to try and play lone striker in the Premier League. He never played as a lone striker in Germany. It's like they're playing FIFA and they just thought, oh, here's a highly rated player, I'll go and buy him. It doesn't work like that in the Premier League. you've got to have a bit of chemistry there. They've got wingers coming out their ears as well, so there's always going to be disgruntled camps there. In that way, I feel sorry for Lampard, but don't get me wrong, I think Frank Lampard is at this present time an average manager. Just like Brendan Rodgers was at Liverpool. I'm saying there's a time for him to maybe come good again.
Yeah, I mean, it was a big jump from Derby to Chelsea, wasn't it? You know, he had one season in Derby where he actually failed.
He actually failed his goal.
Yeah, which was to get them promoted, wasn't it? You know, it was a big step up, but then there was a spate. United did it with Solskjaer temporarily, didn't they? And that turned into a permanent thing. And everybody thought the romance of, you know, club legend Frank Lampard going back to Chelsea to be manager was going to work. There was no guarantee it was going to work. It's a notoriously difficult place for managers. I mean, look at the managers they've gone through. They've had Mourinho twice, Ancelotti, Sarri. You know, they go through managers. Yeah, they go through managers really, really quickly. And you thought maybe with Lampard, he would get a bit of time. But obviously, you know, Abramovich gets an itchy trigger finger, shall we say. And if he thinks things aren't right, he pulls the trigger really, really quickly.
It's the Chelsea way, let's be honest. And do you know what? It actually brings them success. So I don't get why a lot of Chelsea fans are really... I get it, I'm upset because it's Frank Lampard. But hey, this has been your club's model since Abramovich took over. What has been your most successful era in club history?
Yeah.
So I don't get why they get too upset with it, because it works for them. Yeah. Other clubs, it wouldn't work. But for them, with unlimited resources, it works. They don't need to wait 2 or 3 years to build something. They can just throw money at it. If it doesn't work again, they can click the reset button quickly and throw another 100 million, 200 million at it. Because that's what Chelsea do, and that's what they are.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, we talk about short-term and managers and things like that. They replaced Lampard with Thomas Tuchel from, well, he was at Paris Saint-Germain last, wasn't he?
Yeah.
You know, he's only signed an 18-month contract. So that gives you an idea of what their plans are. I don't think he's going to be sticking around for a particularly long amount of time. He doesn't. He's not, you know, historically in his career, he's not stuck around places for very long. I mean, look, Chelsea... They'll be in the top five this year, you know, because Tuchel will make them hard to beat. I don't think they've conceded a goal since he took over. He'll make them hard to beat, and you know they'll be top five. But you know, you made the good point. Is they're probably going to throw another 100, 150, 200 million at it in the summer now to bring in Tuchel's players. And if that doesn't work, then they'll get rid of him, and then they'll bring in another manager and spend another 200 million on that manager's
Well, I think Tuchel was brought in to work with Havertz and Werner, the two German players that are struggling at the club. I think he was brought in to work with them and trying to turn them into a success. So I don't think he will get 200 million to go up and replace them. Where I think you might see him, bring in a centre half. I wouldn't rule out them bringing another goalkeeper, to be fair. I can see the little bits here and there, maybe a central midfielder to come in as well. But they'll spend big money on whoever it is coming in. And the pressure will... I think Tuchel's kind of really got a bit of a free hit to find out who he wants for his one-and-done season next year.
Yeah, no, he has pretty much got a free hit for the rest of this season. Yeah, so first big managerial change this season. Speaking of managers who are starting to come under some pressure and staying in London, this is a topic you'll probably take great relish in, I would imagine, is Tottenham and Jose Mourinho. Something's not right there, and it's gone wrong a lot quicker than it normally does.
Something's not right there, and it's a pattern we've seen happen at Manchester United. We've seen it happen at Chelsea. We've seen it happen at Real Madrid. We see it everywhere Mourinho goes. Normally, he gets a trophy before this happens.
Yeah.
The fact that he hasn't managed to go on and get a trophy yet for Spurs, don't get me wrong, they are in the Carabao Cup final. And I think that will save him his job till the end of the season to see if he can bring that trophy home. I think if he brings that trophy home...
They
won't be City. I know that, but it's a one-off game. You never know; mad things happen in the Premier League, in the English, not Premier League, but in English football. I think he always has this. He always goes to a club and there's a treatment of one player, and he just loses the whole dressing room because of it.
It's Dele Alli this time, isn't it?
Exactly. It was Paul Pogba at Man United. It was Dele Alli at Tottenham, and
it was Luke Shaw at United.
Luke Shaw as well at United. Look at Luke Shaw now. Luke Shaw is absolutely flying at the moment.
Best left back in the Premier League at the moment.
He is absolutely flying at the moment. But I can just... Yeah, everyone knows the way this is going with Jose. They wouldn't be surprised if he goes in the summer. He looks like a manager. Like some of the questions he's answering in the press are just horrendous. The signing of Gareth Bale is absolutely... ridiculous. So he's on a 1-year loan.
Yeah.
There, isn't he? that loan cost £20 million for one season. And they're also paying half his wages, and Real Madrid are paying the other half. Half his wages, though, still comes to £325,000 a week. Ridiculous money. And for someone when Harry Kane's injured as well, not even getting on the pitch. This is the problem with Spurs. They always, one Harry Kane injury away from complete disaster.
Yeah, I mean, there is talk that he's going to be back next week.
Yeah, and maybe they're trying to push him back early.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, from a purely selfish England point of view, I'd rather they didn't bring him back and get him injured again. But
yeah, I agree with that. But know. Spurs are desperate for him.
Well, yeah, no, exactly. And obviously all Spurs fans are wanting him coming back. You know, I think you're right. Mourinho may see out the season, but there may be a change there in the summer.
But wasn't it... So I saw a stat as well that Pochettino in his last 12 games, compared to the Mourinho last 12 games, Pochettino had two more points than Jose at this stage.
And I saw that doing the rounds on Twitter this week. Yeah, like I said, it usually happens to Mourinho teams, but not, you know, he's only just about completed a year as manager, hasn't he?
Yeah. What they should have done, what Tottenham should have done is they should have stuck with Pochettino for the rest of that season, had a clear out, and then go again, refresh the group, because that's a sensational manager they got there. I genuinely believe he's a fantastic manager. And then sack, as an Arsenal fan, when they sacked him, I was happy. I was well happy. It's the best thing they've ever had a manager for a manager.
He got him to a Champions League final.
He got Tottenham to a Champions League final. He made him a permanent fixture in the top four. Maybe he had one blip and this year he wasn't going to... That one year they weren't going to be there. But yeah, it was an absolute weird year with COVID and stuff like that. You never know. They might have picked up form again with Pochettino. Look, you've seen teams be patient with managers when they've had a blip. And like Solskjaer, Arteta, and they've gone on and they've put a run together. Like, I think they need to be patient, a bit more patient with Pochettino. But I'm not complaining one way. I think it's fantastic that Mourinho's destruction button is being pressed and it's beginning to all fall apart.
Yeah, it's not going as well for them as they probably would have hoped.
Did you see the quote he gave? The first sign you see of a manager under pressure and cracking is when they snap at the media. Mm. So you obviously saw the Lampard quotes with the guy from The Athletic after. No. Did you not see the interview?
Basically,
he completely snapped at this report from The Athletic, and the question was kind of like, about the standard of play, and then he kind of went after like the writer about his standard of writing and saying, well, I can't blame my players if they don't read your stuff because the standard of writing's really slipped and stuff like that. And like it was just head scratching, like, you, this is a guy that's just completely gone after the media for most pointless comment.
See, that's never a good sign, is it?
No. And then Mourinho got asked the question about Gareth Bale. And he turned around to the reporter and turned around and said, yes, that is a good question, but you don't deserve an answer. Like, what? What do you mean you don't deserve an answer? Yeah, you said that's a really good question, but you don't deserve it. What the hell is that all about?
That's the sign of a man under pressure, isn't it? Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Long may it continue.
Yeah. So speaking of managers who aren't under pressure at the moment, I would say, and who are, you know, who are kind of looking at their team is in a good run of form and they've picked up some really good results in the past couple of weeks, is Graham Potter at Brighton. They've beaten Spurs and they went to Liverpool and won. I mean, obviously Burnley went to Liverpool and won the week before, which after slagging Burnley off the last time we were on, was quite funny that they turned around and did that at Anfield. But, you know, Brighton have really seemed to turn a corner since Christmas and have pulled themselves. I think they're 8 points clear of the bottom four now. Bottom three, sorry.
Yeah, that bottom three is really coming cut off a little bit. And I think the bottom three as it is now will be the bottom three that go down. Graham Potter, he's... Because I live around Brighton area and there's a lot of Brighton fans around me. They're all... He plays fantastic football. They're brilliant to watch. They're just lacking that cutting killer edge, like a striker. God, if they had someone like Ollie Watkins in their team or someone like that, they would be much higher up the table. much higher up the table. They'll be around 10th, I reckon. And for Brighton, it's they'll be safe again, and they need to invest in some fantastic results recently. They're very hard to beat. They've got really good defence. I really like what Potter's done with going to the three at the back there and having three fantastic English centre-halves, I have to say, with Lewis Dunk, Aaron Webster, and Ben White has come in after his loan at Leeds. And he has just been superb for them. And he is someone that, as an Arsenal fan, I'd love to go out for Ben White this summer to bring him into our central defence, because I think he's fantastic.
Yeah, no, he's playing well. You summed it up. He's made them really hard to beat. They went to Liverpool, this midweek, went 1-0 up, and never really looked like they were going to lose the game from being.
It looked like they were going to score the second.
They probably should have scored the second, actually.
And a man getting a lot of the headlines is also Basuma. He's just a rock in that midfield. And he's really come on this last season. And I imagine he will be moving on from Brighton for bigger and better things in the summer. But that's going to be a big transfer fee wherever he goes. And they will need to reinvest that money wisely to kind of push on again.
Yeah, no, they've got some good players. They've got the young fullback. Tariq Lamptey, is it the one that they got? The one that they got from Chelsea, who's looking
smart
pretty
recruitment.
Good. Yeah, it is. It is smart recruitment, and Potter, did come to the Premier League with a bit of a reputation. I mean, Swansea got him from Sweden, I think, didn't they? Wasn't he managing in Sweden?
He was managing Östersunds, and the first time you really heard of Östersunds is when Arsenal got them in the Europa League knockout stages, and Arsenal went and done the business in the away leg. I think they were up by 4 goals, played a rotated side in the second leg, but Potter's Östersunds came to the Emirates and won.
Yeah.
And that's where people took up and said, hang on, this is an English manager who's, took Östersunds from Division 3 in Sweden to the Prem, won the league with them, got them into Europe, and then he came across, had a good season with Swansea, and then, Brighton took a punt on him. I think it's Gareth Ainsworth is their director of football, and he's doing really well of getting these young players into the team.
Yeah,
and good recruitment, like finding Potter. So really hats off to Brighton. They are doing it the right way. They're playing nice football and they're recruiting smart and young. And that needs to be rewarded by not relegation, and other teams should hopefully follow suit.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it'd be interesting to see whether they can climb away. I mean, like I said, they're fourth from bottom at the moment, but they're 7 points ahead of Fulham, or 8 points ahead of Fulham, I think it is.
Yeah, they've got a big game today where they got Burnley at the moment, and if they win that, they'll go 6 points ahead of Burnley.
Yeah,
what will be huge.
Yeah, so it'd be interesting to see the progress that Potter can make there. So in terms of the Premier League in general, since we last spoke, I mean, obviously we did a piece where we went through every team and reviewed where they were up to and things like that, and what we thought would happen for the rest of the season. I think my prediction is kind of coming true. City are starting to pull away now. I know United will go level on points with them today, and they're playing Liverpool tomorrow, but they'll have two games in hand. You know, I mean, what blew it for United was the defeat at home to Sheffield United last midweek. City are going to pull away. I think United will stay in the top four. I think Liverpool, even though they are struggling at the moment, they'll stay in the top four. The fourth place, is up for grabs between Leicester, Chelsea, West Ham, who have, at the start of the season, me and you were really down on West Ham and David Moyes. But what Moyes has done this season is pretty.
You've got to give them credit.
Impressive. Yeah, it's pretty impressive, to be honest. I mean, West Ham are playing Fulham today, aren't they? They're playing for in a couple of hours. It's one of the TV games today.
I think Tottenham are at the top four race. Looking at the table now. Yeah. I think they're at the top four race. Then I think it will finish actually as it is. Maybe just flip Leicester and Liverpool.
So
City, Liverpool, Leicester. And I reckon that is how it's going to finish. I really do. Yeah.
I mean, Leicester need Jamie Vardy back pretty sharpish if they're going to stay.
Yeah.
Going to stay in the top.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think I generally think West Ham potentially could top the league for the London clubs this year.
Well, the way they're going.
I've never thought I'd ever say that in my lifetime.
Yeah, I mean, the way they're going. I mean, David Moyes brought Jesse Lingard on loan and he scored 2 goals on his debut. I mean, you know, it's the FA Cup next midweek. I mean, I know Arsenal aren't in that anymore this season, but, you know,
let someone else.
United are playing West Ham on Wednesday night, I think it is, at home in the FA Cup fifth round. That, at the moment, that's looking like a really, really, you know, a really, really good game for people to
win. But I wouldn't be surprised if West Ham go and lose 4 on the bounce. That's the type of team
They are. And, you know, Moyes is that type of manager where he goes on spells and then all of a sudden it falls apart. Horrifically.
So you wouldn't be surprised either way. We'll see.
I think we need to talk about United equaling the Premier League record for a victory this week. It's happened 3 times in the Premier League that a team has won 9-0. United have done it twice. They did it in 95 against Ipswich. Then Leicester did it away at Southampton last season. And then obviously on Tuesday night this week, Southampton made the trip to play Manchester United and finished 9-0. Now, we'll start with, you know, it doesn't help a team when one of their players is sent off after 70 seconds for
assault.
For a pretty terrible tackle. Let's put it that way. He was making his first full start, wasn't he? A little bit overexcited and he tried to amputate Scott McTominay's right leg. Deserved red card. And from that point on, you know, it's always going to be tough for Southampton to keep United
in the first 90 seconds.
Yeah, so it was 4-0 at half-time. You came into the second half, and to be fair, United didn't score in the second half until the 62nd minute. So Southampton were, you know, they'd really closed the gap down. Then they scored the fifth and the sixth, and then there was the penalty. We'll come on to that when we talk about the referee in after this little bit now. And, you know, they had a man sent off. So they were down to 9 men for the last 10 minutes. They were already tired and United just picked them off and ended up equaling the record with about 30 seconds to go in the game. So, you know, it's done two things. One, goal difference now has closed right up. We were way behind City on goal difference now. It's not going to come down to goal difference, but you never know, do you? We were way behind and now I think we're only 5 behind on goal difference now after...
Well, you went 9-0, you're only 5 behind.
Yeah, well, no, we were way, you know, we were 14
behind. It's mad though, isn't it? It's mad though, isn't it? You think 9 in a normal season in one game would put you right at the top of the goal scoring charts?
We have scored the most goals in the Premier League so far this season. But obviously we've played 2 more games than City, and a game more than Liverpool now. So you know, it's nice to see United getting back to their ruthless ways of putting teams away at home, because it's our home form that's really let us down this year. If we had our usual home form, we've lost 4 games at home in the league this year. If we had our usual home form, we would be, you know, really, you know, I mean, we're in a title race, but we'd be a lot more in it had our home form been okay.
It's amazing we're talking about Raf Huizenhout being a fantastic manager, but he has now lost twice, 9-0, and he's still in a job, but he is a good manager. It's just a freak results like this.
They had injuries, suspensions, a man sent off after 70 seconds. It was never going to be good for them.
No, and United have been in very good form recently. So, you can't really complain with that.
No. So, for the final subject today, let's move on to recent refereeing decisions. Do you want to kick it off, Ben? Because I know you've got something to get off your chest.
Arseholes.
You've got to get arseholes off your chest.
Yeah, a lot of arseholes. I really just... Where common sense... Where, what's the line? This double jeopardy rule. I just think VAR has come in and... I think it's been part success, part horrendous. I really...
I didn't understand.
Siri's having a moment.
Even Siri wants to get involved.
Yeah, Siri, and Siri hates referees. I'm shocked. I'm lost for words, to be fair. The David Luiz red card, it just... Where you got to look at on VAR and just go, so common sense.
For people who may not have seen what happened, explain what happened.
So end of Arsenal, at the end of the first half, Arsenal Wolves game, William Jose goes through on goal against the goalkeeper. He's inside the penalty box. As he's running next to David Luiz. David Luiz slightly behind him. David Luiz makes no attempt to make a tackle because he knows if he misses it, it's a penalty. Where he's letting him run and not touching him, hopefully his presence will put a bit of pressure on him, maybe put him off and make the goalkeeper save it. But then as they're running at such a pace, both of them running together, William Jose's leg comes up in stride and hits David Luiz's knee. His foot then goes onto the ground.
So for the neutral, their legs collide.
Yeah.
William Jose did not make his leg hit David Luiz. They were running and their legs collided.
Collided. And then he goes down and gets a penalty. And then this is where madness comes in. David Luiz gets sent off for denying a goal-scoring opportunity.
So
now, the new rule has come in where they thought that was always a bit harsh, a penalty and a red card. It's like double punishment kind of thing. So the rule came in saying you wouldn't get sent off. It'll be a yellow card if you attempted to play the ball.
Yeah.
Now, they've sent him off because they're saying David Luiz made no attempt to play the ball, but it was an accidental coming together of players. So there's this, I just don't, this is where common sense has got to look at the rule book and just say, that is ridiculous. The same thing happened later on against the Man United Southampton game, where there was a slight coming together of players and the man gets sent off. Now, consistency, they've both been sent off. Now you've got to look at the rule book and go, okay, this can't happen. This can't happen.
Okay. Again, the Southampton one, he was sent off because he didn't make an attempt to play the ball.
Exactly. But then the consistency comes in where Benyak, I think the player was?
Bednarek.
Yeah. His red card's been resumped. It's been rescinded.
Yeah.
And he can go, there's no suspension, but Luiz's one stands.
But do you know why? Do you know why it was rescinded?
Go on in.
Because there was no contact between Martial and Bednarek. So now we talked about this before we started.
VAR.
So the referee gave the penalty in the United game because on live glance, and when you see it live, it looked like a stonewall penalty. Okay? So he's given the penalty, and then obviously VAR check it because that's what they do. And VAR then said to Mike Dean, the referee, right, we've seen it. We think it's a penalty, but now you need to go and have a look to see if you agree that you think it's a penalty, but also as if you need to send the player off, because at this point he hadn't sent the Southampton player off. So Mike Dean goes over to the VAR screen, but the VAR screen live feed isn't working. So Mike Dean can only see still pictures. He hasn't got a rolling video of what happened. So he sees the still where it looks like there's contact made. There's no attempt to make a play for the ball. So he's had to send him off. My point is, VAR saw this in replay and didn't tell Mike Dean that it's not a penalty, because it wasn't a penalty. You know, the game was over. They were 6-0 down. That element of it is kind of irrelevant.
Yeah, it's relevant. But I'm looking for consistency.
It wasn't a penalty. It just wasn't a penalty. You know, why Martial decided he had to dive at 6-0 down, I don't know.
But Arsene Wenger made a very good comment back in 2017, 2018, before the World Cup, and he turned around and said, there is a reason there is no English referees refereeing in the upcoming World Cup. And he is bang on, because the standard of officiating is atrocious. It's on par with the NFL officiating for me. That's how bad it is. You've got people like Mike Dean who just wants to be a meme online the whole time and plays the cameras. And then you've got these assholes like that twat who sits in BT Sport, I can't remember what his name is, Peter Walton, who sits in his high chair and just says, oh, he has to send him off because it's David Luiz and that's what he does. Well, no, you're not looking at the game. You're going off a player's reputation there to send him off. So even you're saying live on TV, you would have sent him off because of his reputation. This is the standard of refereeing we've got in this country. It's atrocious. It's awful. But rules need to be looked at, and because they've already changed the rules so many times this year on like handballs and stuff like that.
Today there's a new rule, isn't there? The concussion substitute.
Yeah. So I think, once again, that rule needs to be looked at and common sense needs to come in there. You can easily see on VAR if he meant it or not. And that one was clear. Look, if he gave a penalty, I still think penalty was very 50-50. Okay, it's a coming together of players. But if he gave a penalty and didn't give a red card, I'd go, annoying, 50-50. Let's get on with the game. We're playing well. That completely killed the game. Absolutely killed the game. And yeah, what's the point? What's the point of there's no point of watching the rest of that second half, because it was only going one way when you're down to 10 men, and then later on we go down to 9, but that's a whole different story itself.
Well, that was just really, really poor goalkeeping.
That's just mad moment that was. But
like the ghost of Jens Lehmann had reappeared in goal for Arsenal.
But the thing is, though, Jens Lehmann had gone and headbutted the referee on his way off.
that's also true. I mean, look, yes, VAR was brought in to help, and in some instances and circumstances, it does help. But how it's set up at the moment and how it works, it's not helping.
Yeah. You
know, VAR should have overturned that penalty for United. Now, look, the Arsenal David Luiz one, I don't think you can argue that that is a penalty. Accidental or not, you know, if that was on the halfway line, that's getting given. So if it's getting given on the halfway line, it's getting given.
Then I'm going back to the Arsenal game today, Bukayo Saka getting hauled down, and he's going to be 1-1. I know you're going to say this, that it's too far away from goal, but then I've just seen footage of a couple of years ago when Arteta got sent off for the exact same thing. Exact same thing about three or four years ago in his last year for Arsenal. He got sent off for the exact same sort of challenge that far away. So where is the consistency?
Yeah. But my argument on that tackle today was more, you know, if David Luiz had performed that tackle, that accidental, whatever you want to call it, on the Wolves player on the halfway line, it would have been a foul and he would have been booked.
Yes, because of the double jeopardy rule.
On the halfway line. So he would have been a foul and he would have been booked. The one today... The rule is it's a red card if it's a denial of an obvious goal-scoring opportunity. Saka was 45 yards away from goal. Now, the chances are...
But he's 1-1.
You know what, the chances are he would have, but 45 yards is different than 5 yards where the...
But then that, once again, it comes into matter of opinion.
Well, yeah, but no. But the Wolves one was an obvious goal-scoring opportunity. He was going to tap the ball into an empty net, essentially. Whereas... Saka still had to dribble for 40 yards before getting into that point. And anything can happen in that. So it's not an obvious one. Now, look, I said to you this afternoon when we were watching it, we were texting during the game, had I been a Villa fan and he was sent off for that, there can be no argument for him being sent off for it. It's 10 yards further forward, it's probably a red card because he's that much closer to the goal. That's just my opinion on it. That's not necessarily that makes it right, but...
No, if things are getting worse for Southampton now.
Joe Willock's just scored for Newcastle, by the way.
Joe Willock's just scored. There we go, attaboy. So January transfer window, I missed that. That's all closed.
Not really much happened, did it?
Nope. Mesut Ozil left the Premier League for good.
Well, he hasn't played in the Premier League for over a year, has he? So
just under about 9 months didn't play for. But no, he is gone, and the Fenerbahce fans are paying his wages for a crowdfunder.
Oh, wow.
Page. Yep, so that's for the rest of the season. And so how much he says he's a massive Fenerbahce fan and he's playing for free, he's not. You're getting paid for a crowdfunder. So don't start with that. But no, nothing else. Liverpool had finally addressed their centre-half issues with a signing of a good centre-back, I think, Cabrak from Schalke. They're dire at the moment, Schalke. They really are. But that's a very good signing for them. He's got a lot of potential. But yeah, I think we're looking at the end of the season already now with City rolling away with it, and I think they'll beat Liverpool and at the weekend and roll away with it. I think Ruben Diaz has transformed that City defence this year.
Yeah, no, yeah. Like I said, City are just gonna walk away with it now. I mean, they're playing Liverpool tomorrow. That's a big game. I think they'll win tomorrow. I think City will win tomorrow. they're not conceding any goals. Well, the only goals they're conceding at the moment are goals to League Two teams in the FA Cup, who were 9 minutes away from knocking them out. Cheltenham Town, my hometown team, nearly beat City in the FA Cup. But yeah, it's interesting, and you know, we've got the added factor of European football starting again in a couple of weeks. And you know, don't even get me started. European football should have been binned off this season because of the pandemic.
It's ridiculous.
You know, Liverpool's Champions League game away in Germany can't actually be played in Germany because the Germans aren't allowing anybody from the UK to travel into the country at the moment for understandable reasons. Trying to play European football this year was a
stupid thing, and
it was.
I don't
money
mind.
Though money.
Yeah, I don't think that we're going to be in Europe next year, Arsenal wise. But you know what? I don't really mind. I have a year off it. I would have preferred probably this year off it, to be honest. But it looks like we're playing Benfica, but we can't go to Portugal due to quarantine rules. So they're either going to play the home leg in a neutral ground in Spain, I heard, or they're going to play...
They're going to switch them around, aren't they? Play the legs in a different order. So you'll play at home first and then hope that restrictions are lifted for the second leg.
Well, it's only a week's difference, so it's not going to change much. True, and they're talking about just making it a one-off game in Germany, apparently.
Well, I mean, I think those tournaments worked last year. You know, at the end of the season.
I would honestly, if it wasn't for the Euros, it's the only problem with the Euros and stuff. If it wasn't for the Euros, I'd bin off Europe now and do that style of tournament at the end of the season. I really would. Or just put it in centre of Europe, France or somewhere like that. Every team will go and play, just fly to France, play the one-off game, fly back. None of this two-leg stuff. It's not going to work this year. Don't bother with it.
No,
just do one-leg games.
Absolutely.
Just do one-leg. Just do one-leg games. Depends what country we'll have them, but we'll go from there. But no, I just want to get fans back in the stadium. I'm beginning to miss it a lot, and I think you can see with the performances on the pitches how poor and how boring some games get at the moment.
We're not going to have fans in stadiums this season.
No. Yep. Let's just crack on to the end of the season. I've got my own personal goals that I want my club to achieve by the end of the season and grow, looking to next season. And then let's go at it again next year. Let's have fans back in the stadium. Let's see momentum. Because momentum, no matter what people say, momentum is a real thing in sport, and crowds create momentum.
Yeah. No.
And absolutely. I think there's going to be a newfound respect for fans when they go back in stadiums.
Yeah, we'll soon find out. I mean, hopefully, you know, in general, lockdown and COVID news, we find out in a couple of weeks the path to coming out of lockdown. I mean, obviously, the UK is still in a full lockdown. I think we're probably looking at April before we come out of this, at least, I would suggest. I think we'll probably be some sort of a lockdown until the end of March.
Yeah, I think you're going to get schools and stuff opening up in March, and then they'll try and open other stuff up. Oh God, I can't wait to go back to a pub.
I've not been in the pub since August. It's been a long time.
A pint on draft. Oof.
Yes. Right.
Day before Christmas Day.
True. Right. Anything else to add before we wrap this up today?
No, all good. Let's City are going to probably win it, but we'll talk again soon. And let's enjoy the weekend, Super Bowl this weekend as well. And obviously,
England Chiefs
in the cricket. Yeah, absolutely, and England cricket for us, like over here. So
yeah, that's
not
true,
bad.
That's true.
It's not a bad,
and it's not a bad sports that, weekend. Yeah,
you got that egg chasing crap going on.
No,
as well.
nobody with any brain watches that, mate.
Exactly. So right. It's a good sporting weekend.
It is. Right. Thanks everybody for listening in and checking out the Premier League podcast. Please make sure you follow both of our Twitter accounts, Don't Patrol UK and Don't Patrol US. Also follow Taking the Over. Taking the Over is a gambling podcast hosted by Billy Gunn, which is, you know, if you've not listened to it, check it out. It's good fun. There's gambling talk, but there's always stories. always funny stories that are being told either by Billy Gunn himself or any of the guests he's had on. I've been a guest. I think, Ben, you're guesting on his show this week.
Yeah, I'm guesting this week. So,
yeah. Check us out on Spotify, Podbean, wherever else you get your podcast from. And yeah, thanks for checking us out. We'll speak to you soon.
It's the music that we choose. 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 The world is spinning too fast. I'm fine that Nike shoes to keep myself tethered to the days I tried to lose. My mama said to slow down, you must make your own shoes. Stop dancing to the music, I've got gorillas in a happy mood. Keep my groove on. Jungle, watching a fake trail, caught up in the conflict between his brain and his tail. And if time's elimination, then we got nothing to lose. Please repeat the message, it's the music that we choose. Keep on our groove on.
Get the cool. Get the cool to shine. Get the cool. Get the cool to shine. Get the cool. Get the cool to shine. Get the cool. Get the cool to shine.
It's the music that we choose.
I can't break down, yeah, come back up. Get the cool.